Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning on this festival day. Father, I ask that you would indeed, truly, and very manifestly be present here through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would nourish us, guide us, lead us, transform us, Lord, by your love and by your power, that we might see, know, and trust in your Son Jesus with greater strength and confidence than we could ever ask or imagine. And I pray this in his most precious name. Amen. Well, today is the day of Pentecost, the day of the third great feast in the Christian year. And I thought I would lead off in the words I have for you this morning by singing a little jingle from St. Billy. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday, the regular crowd's rolling in. That's from Piano Man by Billy Joel. Now, why am I singing Billy Joel songs to you on Pentecost? Well, because on this remarkable day in Jerusalem, the disciples had a profound and unique and amazing experience where God, through his Holy Spirit, did something. And that thing was so unique and powerful that when they went out and started talking to everybody, the only explanation the people could give, the only rational category they could put it into, was that, well, surely these men are drunk. And that's what they said. They said, well, surely these men, they're talking in these strange languages, and they're Galileans. And the only explanation we have is that they've been drinking too much wine. And St. Peter gets up, and he addresses the crowd, and what does he say? He says, folks, these men are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Something else is going on here, something deeper than just the effects of too much wine. Because that would be safe and easy if that were the case. But the reality, the truth, is so much bigger, so much deeper, so much wilder and unsettling than just having a bit too much to drink. So what was going on that day of Pentecost that was so much wilder and deeper and more powerful than the folks on hand were ready to accept? Well, I believe that there's three things that this Pentecost event that we're celebrating today was indicating. First, it was something ancient. Secondly, it was something new. And thirdly, it's something now. So let me unpack all that for you this morning. Firstly, something ancient. Peter gets up and says, look, God promised something a long time ago. He spoke through the prophet Joel and said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And you will see signs and wonders, and your young people will see visions, and your old people will dream dreams. This was something that God had in mind and had foretold and had planned long before 9 o'clock on a Saturday. And one of the things that is of noteworthy interest on that first day of Pentecost was that the disciples had the Holy Spirit come upon them, something promised and foretold from centuries ago. And they start talking in other languages. It says in our translation that they spoke in tongues, which we think of as some sort of wacky and wild, crazy thing that the Pentecostals do down the street, and they do. But what's of noteworthiness here is that what these disciples were speaking were actual languages that people could understand. Have you ever traveled abroad and been in a country where the primary spoken language is not English? And you know, you're kind of a fish out of water, and you're trying to you know, ask, where's the bathroom? And, you know, is this the way to the beach? You know, like as if saying it louder helps. And then all of a sudden you hear somebody speaking English. You speak English? Well, yes, I do, and I can see you do as well. Wonderful. And there's this connection, right? You're speaking English. And you have a conversation with somebody who really, to be honest, were circumstances different, you probably wouldn't have a conversation with them otherwise. That happens to you when you're traveling abroad. Well, the same thing happened in Jerusalem that day. There were folks from all over the known world, from all over Asia Minor, from the Mediterranean basin, from Phrygia, and from all over North Africa. They were gathering as pilgrims in Jerusalem. And the language of Jerusalem was not their first language. And all of a sudden, they hear somebody talking in their own tongue. And they're not asking for the bathroom or where to go to get to the beach or where the local food stand is. No, they're talking about the great and wonderful works of God. I say, how is this that we're hearing all these amazing things in our own language? And one of the ancient things that this event and at Pentecost, with the diversity of language that's being spoken to every nation and tribe, goes in some sense all the way back to Genesis. And in Genesis, there's the story of the Tower of Babel, or Babel, however you want to pronounce it, tomato, tomato, wherein God, because of humanity's selfishness, their ambitions for their own glory, divided them and said, you're going to have to speak to each other in different languages. Right? That's what the story of Babel is all about. Humanity had one language, and afterwards they had many. And at Pentecost, what you see God doing is undoing some of that curse, in that what now comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit is not a division of language, but rather a bringing in together, so that every tribe and tongue and nation might hear the wonderful works of God, and that through faith in Christ they might come together regardless of language or background or social status or ethnicity. So the ancient thing that happens on Pentecost is something that was promised from long ago and begins to undo the bad things that had gone before. But that's not all that happened on Pentecost. Something new happened on Pentecost as well as something ancient. You see, what were the disciples doing that day? Well, they were hiding in a locked room, as was kind of their routine in those days. But you got to remember something. Those disciples on the morning of Pentecost, who were locked away and in hiding in fear, had already seen the risen Christ. Jesus had been raised from the dead. They'd seen him. They'd talked to him. They'd touched his side. They'd had meals with him. And yet, somehow, they hadn't changed. They were still locked in the same fearful patterns. And then, the Holy Spirit, like a rushing wind, a mighty roar, comes in and lights on their head. And something new happens to them. That Peter, the guy who, with curses, rejected his association with Jesus. When a servant girl in the high priest's household identified him and said, weren't you with Jesus? No way. I don't even know the guy. That same Peter now gets up in front of thousands of people and says, let me tell you about Jesus, whom you killed, by the way. But God made him alive again, and we've seen him. And all these promises are coming true. Something new came and happened to Peter and to the disciples and the followers of Jesus that day. And Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians. He says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. So Pentecost very much marks the coming of something new, where God will dwell within someone and change them. That was new. But that's not all that's going on at Pentecost. What connects you and me here today to the personal work of Christ so many centuries ago, to the amazing events, both ancient and new, on that day of Pentecost, for us, is that same Holy Spirit who is here among us and dwelling within us, connecting us to Christ and to those events of ancient past. And so there is something happening at Pentecost now, that the Holy Spirit is here now, that He is active now in your life, in my life. And what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to spend some time investigating and unpacking what exactly that means. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does He do in the here and now? How can I know? Tell me about this Holy Spirit. I want to know more. We're going to spend some time doing that over the next couple of weeks, that the Holy Spirit is one who shows us our sin. The Holy Spirit is one who leads us into new righteousness. The Holy Spirit is one who gives gifts. We're going to talk about that. There's many things that the Holy Spirit does. But for today, what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit brings something new to you and to me. New every morning by connecting us to God. And the way that the Holy Spirit does that is by pointing us back to something ancient. The Holy Spirit will always point us back to a desolate hill outside of Jerusalem where a man was killed in agony. The Holy Spirit will always take us back to a quiet garden where the silence is broken by the grating of a stone rolling away in front of a tomb. The Holy Spirit will always bring us back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He has done for us a long, long time ago, but that still has power now. Amen.